Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Dr. Jim Bradford. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Talking about the names of God, and our guiding scripture is what my family growing up, as we did alphabet scripture memory with our two girls and my wife and I, this is our T verse, T, and it's Psalm 9, verse 10. Those who know your name will trust you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Now, to know his name, of course, is not just to know a noun, an identifier, but to know his name is to know his nature. Now, the word in Hebrew in the Old Testament for God, just the noun God, is the Hebrew word El, or the plural Elohim. And Jesus' Christmas name, Emmanuel, so that's where you see that El coming up, and you see different compound forms of the word El. And El really doesn't describe him. You don't really know his name. It's just a noun, El, God. Could be any kind of God, but El is God. However, there is one name that is given to us in Scripture that we would say would be not just a noun, but a proper name, okay? Boy or man or whatever you call me, that'd be a noun, right? But my actual name is Jim. That doesn't mean a lot, but God has a name that's given to him in Scripture. And it's Yahweh or Jehovah. That would be the name that God has been given. We saw last week as we were with Moses in the burning bush how God said, when Moses said, Lord, okay, if you want me to help lead your people out of Egypt, who shall I say sent me? What's your name, Moses said. And God says, I am that I am. And that's where we get Yahweh or Jehovah from. It literally means I will be what I will be. It means that all you're going to walk into, no matter what you're going to face, that will be at the extremity of your capacity, whatever you will need me to be, whatever would describe sufficiency for you in the future, that's me. I just flat out am who I am, and that's all you're going to need, because in who I am will be all you need. And so this name Yahweh, Jehovah, comes. What we're going to do in the next few weeks is look at the way Scripture builds on that name that's given to God, Yahweh or Jehovah. Tonight we're going to look at what may be fairly familiar because of a song that was written about three or four decades ago, Jehovah Jireh. Remember that? Some of you know that song out of the charismatic moment? Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient. So I'm going to spare you that tune and I'm going to spare you my voice, Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. It means God's my provider. We get it out of Genesis chapter 22. And we're told in Genesis 22 and verse 8 that Abraham was going with his son Isaac up to Mount Moriah, which we believe is where the Temple Mount is today in Jerusalem. And he's going, and God had told him to offer a sacrifice there. And they're on their way, and he's got his son with him, his son Isaac. And Isaac asks him, Dad, where's father, where is the sacrifice? Usually it would be a ram, a goat, a sheep. And Abraham answered him in verse 8, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. And he said, God himself will provide the lamb. But what was racing through Abraham's mind at that moment is unbelievable, because Abraham believed that God had asked him to offer not an animal, but his own son Isaac as a sacrifice. And Abraham has three problems with that. Number one, what you do so horrendously to sacrifice children to a God was utterly outside of everything the true Jehovah represented. In fact, if you ever struggle with some of the genocide in the Old Testament, it was involving nations that did horrible things to their children as they killed or sometimes tortured and burned alive their own children in sacrifices to their gods. So first of all, Abraham would have never known Jehovah to be this kind of God, and yet he said, I want you to sacrifice your son. His second problem was that, this is Isaac, who was the promised child. Abraham and Isaac were nearly 100 years old when Isaac came. He was the miracle son, and God had said, through your seed, I'm going to give nations all over the world. I'm going to spread all over the world. And of course, this became, you know, the fountainhead of the Jewish people. And so now, his young boy, before he's ever had a chance to marry, have a family, now God is telling him to kill him. And yet Hebrews says that in Abraham's mind, God knew that to keep his promise, he would even raise Isaac from the dead if he had to. In the great faith chapter of Hebrews 11, Isaac knew that if he obeyed God, God would even bring him back from the dead in order to keep his promise. It's the kind of God we serve. So he's got these problems, and his third problem is, this is the son he loves. I mean, your own child, come on. And so Isaac says, Father, where's the child? Where's the sacrifices? Are on the way to the place of sacrifice. And Abraham just says, God's going to provide it for you. He's going to provide for us. All the while knowing the plan in his mind. So they get up to the place of sacrifice, and there they are. And sure enough, I can't imagine what was going through Isaac's mind, but there is all of a sudden Abraham starting to tie Isaac's hands behind his back and then tie his feet. And he's just telling Isaac, just trust me and just do what I say. And then laying him on the altar that would soon burn with fire, as the sickening feeling settles on Isaac that I'm the sacrifice. We're told that Abraham puts his son there, and the knife is up in his hands, and is horrible and unimaginable both this scene is and how unbelievable Abraham's faith is. He holds the knife up, about to kill his own son in what he believes is obedience to God, and all of a sudden he hears the bleating of a ram over in the bush. And we jump down to verse 14. And we see that God provided the sacrifice, and it wasn't his son, it was the ram. And in verse 14, so Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh. He called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Why? Because God provided the sacrifice. When Abraham had no clue what God's ways would be in this moment. But he just trusted God to be the one who provided. He provided the sacrifice. So he called the place, built on God's personal name, Yahweh Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, which means in Hebrew, God will provide. The Lord will provide. Now, I don't know about you, but I like to be a low maintenance person, because I get in trouble when I depend on other people too much, right? I travel a lot, and when I travel, I especially like to be low maintenance, because then I've got my bets hedged, and I know, you know, do you want me to pick you up at the airport when you arrive, or do you want to rent a car? That's a no-brainer for me. I'm renting a car, because I'm not going to depend on anybody taking care of me. I want to be low maintenance. So I was asked by the Assemblies of God to represent the Assemblies of God at a national convention of another denomination. And they said, we will pick you up in the airport in this huge city. We will pick you up. So, okay, I didn't rent a car. I took their word for it. I flew into the airport. An hour later, I was still sitting there because they forgot to pick me up. They later apologized to me. And I'm sitting there. That's why I like to be low maintenance. I want to take care of myself. The problem is when I try to be low maintenance with Jehovah Jireh, it's like an oxymoron. Because his whole disposition is to provide. And he provides for us in a secondary way, and he provides in a primary way. The secondary way would be him for providing our needs. Let me run a couple of scriptures past you. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, Paul said, Jesus, when I was begging God to take something out of my life that was really bothering me, called it a thorn in the flesh, he said, Jesus said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. With provider, you always tag on the word sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you. The Christian writer Philip Yancey said, grace is like our best word. It's more than just he's forgiven us when we don't deserve it. Grace has to do with his whole disposition towards us. Listen, the God we're walking with this week, his whole disposition towards us is this way. Grace is the I am that I am towards you. And he said, that grace is enough. He said, you may not be pain-free. You may be suffering right now, but who I am, my grace is enough. Because he's the provider of enough. And he glorifies himself. Sometimes if even the outcome we can't predict, he glorifies himself even in our suffering because he comes down. In fact, in the next few verses, he says, in the next few lines, he said, for my power is made perfect in weakness. In other words, I like to say, this is my paraphrase, God does his best work when we really need him, when we're in places vacant of personal capacity, when we're just not low maintenance. We're going to not survive unless somebody maintains us. And he does his best work in our weakness, for he makes his power perfect in our weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I'm going to boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest upon me. On a secondary level, God meets our needs, and especially if you're really at the end of yourself tonight, if you're really stressed, if you're really without resources, if you really don't know how the story's going to end, you are positioning yourself for Jehovah Jireh to show off and to do his best work right there. So that's on the pretty intense level. When we're just weak and we're not going to survive unless God intervenes, this is Jehovah Jireh who loves to show up and perfect his strength in our weakness. On the other end of the spectrum is even things we may not even consider that consequential. But in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, get this about Jehovah Jireh. He says, Pastor Timothy, command the wealthy people in your church, command them who are rich in this present world, not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God. Now get this, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. So on one hand, he's sufficient in our weakness, but on the way, the other side of the spectrum of our needs, even things we don't technically need, but God would just shower on us for our enjoyment and our pleasure. He's even the God who provides that. He says, so tell rich people, don't depend on this, but depend and put your hope in God, because he's Jehovah Jireh, and he even provides us with everything for our enjoyment. So here he is. That's the secondary level at which God meets our needs as God, our provider, the Lord who provides. But the primary way in which he provides, in which he's Jehovah Jireh, is not to meet our needs, but to help us to know him. Why did Abraham say, I'm calling this place Jehovah Jireh? Because the Lord has provided. What did he provide? He provided the sacrifice. And so in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, our last two verses, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. So first of all, it's his Son he gave. And he describes that in the next verse. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as what? The atoning sacrifice for our sins. God said to Abraham, I appreciate your willingness, your faith in obeying me, will open a lifetime of my grace to you. But I'm going to reserve for myself the opportunity to sacrifice my son. He let no human being ever have the privilege of sacrificing their sons for his glory. But here's how God provided. I mean, this is greater than him meeting any needs. I had a lady sit in my office one day as a pastor years ago, and she said, I'm not interested in a God who doesn't meet my needs. And I just felt sorry for her being stuck at that secondary level. Look, if God never met one of my needs, he did something more important. He provided, not for my needs, he provided a way to know the King of all eternity. Because he gave his son, said, Abraham, you don't get to do that, but I do. I'm the provider of the sacrifice. Abraham saw the sacrifice in the thicket, saw the ram, and said, I'm calling this place Jehovah Jireh, because God had provided the sacrifice. But it turned out that ram was only a picture. It was only a picture. One of my favorite quotes ever, some of you have heard it many times who know me, Bruce Shelley, he says, Christianity is the only major world religion to have as its central event the humiliation of its own God. There's nothing like Christian gospel in any other religious system in the world, because its central event is God sacrificing his own son as the, what he says there in 1 John, the atoning sacrifice. Atonement. To atone means to cover. He covers. In his atonement, the covering for our sin, the healing of our sicknesses, that everything covers every basis, covers everything through the sacrifice of his son. I sometimes, you know, not only want to be low maintenance, but I want God on my terms. You can't have God on your terms. This is the way God provided to know him, through his son. He sacrificed his son. I'd like you to stand with me just for a minute. First of all, some of us really need Jehovah Jireh at that secondary level of him just providing our needs. So I'd like to invite you to hold your hands out like this. And I just believe, I know, I sense the presence of God here. I know he always honors his word. Father, here are our hands. We give up being low maintenance in your sight. Lord, we just need you. We give you our weaknesses. We give you the struggles we keep losing against. We give the habits that we don't seem to be able to have victory over. We give you our need for jobs. We give you our needs for intervention and relationships. Wherever we need you, Lord, would you be strong in our weakness? And we even dare to believe you for every good thing for us to enjoy, that you would just lavish providership to us in that way. Lord, just by faith, we just defy all the doubts and we entertain no possibility except you are going to provide for our needs. For you are Jehovah Jireh. We just take that ground of faith right now in Jesus' name. And then, Lord, thank you meet our needs in that secondary level, but thank you more than meeting our needs. You're the one who's provided the way to know you, the way to salvation. And Father, there may be some among us whose heart is not right with you tonight. And we're trying to have you on our terms. We're trying to deserve things from you. We're trying to kind of run life on our terms and have you on our terms. But Lord, the only way we can know you is by your terms. You gave your son, and through him we can have life. And so we receive the benefits of your atoning sacrifice for us. We receive your forgiveness. We receive your healing. We receive new life in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We just receive that now. And we thank you for providing the way to know you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. This is on your terms, but we come your way and we praise you. And we bless you, Lord, that you are Jehovah Jireh. You are the God who provides. Would you just unleash all of your providing power upon us? And thank you above all that you provided your son, that we may know you, that we may know you, our King and our God. Hallelujah. So as you go this week, I want you to go with Jehovah Jireh. I want you to just let him pour out into every area of your life. And above all, just never forget, he gave his son, he provided the sacrifice so that we could walk in his greatness, provision, and power. I want you to walk in that all the rest of this week. And God bless you. It's been so wonderful just to share.